Good afternoon to each one. Thank you for again coming out this afternoon. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. 1 Peter in chapter 2. And we'll start reading at verse 5. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house, and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, Behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is become the head of made the head of the corner. A stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. Verse 9, But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And over to the book of Revelation and chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, and we'll start reading it at verse 4. Revelation 1 and 4. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us, and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. And we trust God will bless the word that we have read together this afternoon and what will be said on it. The subject that is on my mind this afternoon is to speak a little of New Testament priesthood, what it is for men and women to function as priests before God. As we have read from 1 Peter in chapter 2, we would see that it is the desire of God that there would be a kingdom of priests. And the two things that are mentioned there is that the priests would offer spiritual sacrifices, and also to show forth the Lord's praise, or to show forth the Lord's excellencies. We will learn as we move through this topic that it is a truth that will govern many parts of our lives, whether or not we are aware of it this afternoon. And for some who are on in the road of Christian experience, this will be a truth that is very familiar to you. And so I trust it will just be an encouragement to continue on in the path that God has given to us. However, I assume as well here there will be a number who this may be a new truth to, or one that is not very familiar to you. And I trust that after this, the Word of God will be brought to bear upon each of our lives, and that we would move forward under fresh encouragement, under fresh joy, and also responsibility, under the truth of God that is being brought to bear in our life. Not only a truth that governs our lives, but it should be a truth that grips our heart. It is something that should give us the appreciation of what God has done, and that he has brought us into this marvelous kingdom, the kingdom that of a priesthood. An adoration as we contemplate what God has formed. Should also exercise our hearts to function in the way that God has designed, in the way that God has desired to us. And it should also be a truth that governs our minds and guides it. There's many errors and many things that are out and is available to our minds to grasp upon. And I trust that from the Word of God we would learn and guide our minds. It would keep our priorities straight as we consider the Word of God. First of all, it is the Word of God in our lives, and it is God, and then it is mankind. And it also preserves us from various forms of error, including the rule or the exalting of any one or any group of men or women between us and our God. So what does it mean, the truth of the priesthood of all believers, or the New Testament priesthood, as we have read it here from 1 Peter chapter 2 and from other places that we will read this afternoon? It is a truth that would relate to us that each believer each individual believer has personal access to God at all times through the person and the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Priesthood is always spoken of in the sense of the plural, as in a priesthood, but it is something that each one functions, each individual functions afterward in a very priestly manner. As you would think of priesthood, we must consider a little of our great high priest. And he is the one, our Lord Jesus Christ, who we would take the character from. And we would learn a little of Christ, and we have heard ministry in recent days on Christ as our great high priest. And it is from this that we will learn a little more of Christ, and a little more of the character of him, a little more of the character of how we should be characterized as well as we live before God. As well as we would consider priesthood, we will discover that there are words and there are concepts that are associated with it. And we can think of the dignity and also the responsibility that is associated with priesthood. There's also the privilege that priests have to come before God and to offer spiritual sacrifices and also to show forth the excellencies of our Lord. And as well, there is the two words of offering and sacrifice, which we'll look at in a little while. The function of a priest is always in relation to God, first of all and primarily. We don't have time this afternoon, and I'll leave it upon yourselves to know a little more of the Old Testament priesthood. And as we would, if we would have taken the time, we could have looked at the Levitical priesthood and a little more of the way in which they functioned before God, and learn a little of how it is that God would desire us to function before him. And we'll draw our minds to some of the connections. We'd like to keep our thoughts to some of the verses in the New Testament that would bring before us spiritual priesthood, New Testament priesthood. So in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 and verse 9, we have those phrases, "and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ." In verse 9, a royal priesthood, that we should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Over this chapter, I just put the little heading, God's desire for priesthood. If we would look back and through our Bibles, we would realize that it has always been in the desire of God that there would be a nation of priests. If you were to look back in Exodus chapter 19 and verse 16, the words of God to the nation of Israel was, "And ye shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and an holy nation." And if we continue on, we would see there as well that the response of the people of that time to the words of God were, "All the Lord has spoken, we will do." And it's not long as we move through those chapters that we realize that those were very fateful words for the children of Israel. And they were not able to live up to the words and the promise that they had made to God. And there was judgment brought upon them. They were not able to live up to their covenant. And through the eternal purposes of God, the tribe of Levi was chosen. And from that tribe, just a single family was chosen, the tribe of Aaron. And even then, we could say it came down even further to the fact that it was just the men who had functioned as priests in the Old Testament. And as we can think of at this time, maybe it was set. And God, not having necessarily what he had first desired in a nation of priests, had still a family. And the men that would offer sacrifices and would praise before him, it would not come very much farther through the book of the old of Exodus. And we would read there of the two sons of Aaron, and they offered strange fire before God. And God judged even the priesthood then, and those that were priests, and some died. They did not practice. They did not function as priests that God had appointed. It was both the desire of God that they would be priests and they would function as priests. But yet God would not separate the two, the function that they had. And there was the holiness of God that would not and could not be compromised, and God moved forward in judgment upon them. And so now we move into the book of 1 Peter. And we come to the New Testament, and we move, as it were, past Calvary. And we would see here that God is again yet moved in grace and in mercy. And he is desirous that there would be a priesthood unto himself. We notice the difference that it is founded upon the grace of God, and therefore is unconditional as compared to those in the Old Testament. So the book of 1 Peter, written to all those that were scattered. and to those that were scattered, and they were undergoing the trial of their faith. They were wondering, as it were, what was the purposes that God had for them. And now the Apostle Peter would bring this message to them of what they were, of what God had made them, of what they are. They were a priesthood. God had formed them, constituted them to be a priesthood before them. This was what the desire of God was for them, and then also by extension, of course, to you and I today. So you have your two words. It is a holy priesthood and also a royal priesthood. When we think of it in terms of a holy priesthood, I think of this in relation to God. When we think of a royal priesthood, I've thought of it in relation to the world. You see, in verse 5, it is a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God. The word there, acceptable to God, and the ideas there is something that would be of repetition, something that would have an intensity. There is the offering up continually of spiritual sacrifices before God. It is to set forth what God has done. And in verse 9, a royal priesthood to show forth the excellencies of the world. Not maybe necessarily primarily before God, but before the world. Showing forth the excellencies of the Word of God and of Christ to the world. The work of a priest before God and before men. So we would learn that it is not enough that we have been saved. Not enough that God has saved us and has brought us into the great relationship and the great privileges that we have of being in Christ. But God would desire that we would learn what it is to be priests before Him. A priest's actions are always in relation to God. And as we move through this, I like to draw our minds to the principle of Scripture we will come back to again and again. When we think of the priesthood, when we think of priests, the principle is that they will act toward God. They will first of all act toward God, and it's only by that and in that that they will bless others. They act toward God in blessing to God, in blessing of God, and it is only in that work, only by that, that they are able to bring blessing to men. We would think of the person of our Savior, the person of Christ. We think of the Word of God as it could say that He came to not to do His own will, and He came to do the will of His Father. He came to bring pleasure to the Father's heart, and He brought pleasure to God continually. And it was only in that, only in that He was doing the will of the Father, that He was able, and that He gave blessing, such great blessing, to mankind here on the earth. So the priest always considers the result for God. If we were to look back to the Old Testament, to one of the first mentions of priests and priesthood, we would come to Genesis and chapter 14, the story of Melchizedek and Abraham. And we would read there that Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. He was acting in relation to God. He was acting in relation to the priest of the Most High God, and that was the way in which he was functioning. Yet as he functioned in that manner, he came and he blessed Abraham and strengthened Abraham before the temptation. It was in that capacity as a priest that he brought forth the bread and the wine to minister to Abraham. He expressed God to man. He was the priest of the Most High God. And I believe that is the first time we have that word mentioned again in our Bibles, the Most High God. And Abraham learns a new title for his God. He is the Most High God. Notice as well that, this is a bit of a side note, that the strengthening and the actions of Melchizedek toward Abraham were not required when Abraham was out pursuing the kings who had destroyed and taken his nephew Lot. But it was when the kings were, as it were, pursuing after him that the temptation came, and Melchizedek stepped forward and stepped into the scene and strengthened him then before that temptation. And so Abraham is able to resist the temptation of the spoil and the goods that were offered to him. And so from this we would see that a priest acts in relation to God and then in blessing toward mankind. If we were to look at Deuteronomy chapter 10 and verse 8, we would see that the Lord separated the tribe of Levi to stand before the Lord, to minister unto Him, and to bless in His name. In Deuteronomy chapter 21, similar verse, for them, speaking of the tribe of Levi, the Lord hath chosen to minister unto him and to bless in the name of the Lord. And a bit of a summary verse from 1 Chronicles in chapter 23, Aaron was separated that he should sanctify the most holy things, he and his sons forever, to burn incense before the Lord, to minister unto him and to bless in his name forever. And again, as I was moving through this topic and studying it, the principle came so strongly to me, the principle of blessing toward God, acting toward God, and only in that and by that blessing brought toward mankind and the world. And if you look at Hebrews chapter 5, speaking of the high priest, he was ordained for men in things pertaining to God. So a priest acts toward God in blessing to others. Our God must always have the first place. Our God must always have the priority in whatever that we will do. So we can see that in trying to bless men, in trying to give blessing to men, and by that to honor God, is completely and utterly opposite to the wisdom and the plan of God. And so it is a principle that must govern all of our lives. First God, and then mankind. I've thought that acting toward men or on behalf of men can very often and perhaps is very easily done of our own power. It's very easy to go out and to try and bless others and bless men of our own power, of our own volition. And yet, blessing God can only be done as a spiritual exercise. It is only those who are spiritual, acting in the presence of God, that are able to bless God. And I ask myself the question, why is it that so often it seems that I try? Or perhaps maybe you can think of your own life as well. Why is it so often that you try to bless man and by that to honor God? No, God must have first place. Our God must have the priority. We bless God, and by that there is blessing brought to men. And so God would desire that we would be a priesthood before himself. It has always been his desire, and God has brought it forth now in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, while pleasing to God by our Lord Jesus Christ. Moving on to Revelation in chapter 1, looking at from verses 4 to 6, I've labeled over this little section the entrance into priesthood. And so it teaches us the manner in which God has created this priesthood. We've been constituted a kingdom of priests unto God and his Father. If we were to look at those verses from the end of verse 5, we would see, unto him who loved us and hath washed us from our sins in his own blood. And so entrance into priesthood is connected with our salvation. It is connected with those that have been born again. I mean, those that have been loved presently. God who is loving us and has washed us from our sins. So each one that is born again, each one that has been saved by the grace of God, that is truly one of the children of God, has been brought in at the moment of salvation into this kingdom of priests. There is no waiting. There is no, as it were, time of blessing. No, each one that is saved is brought in to this holy privilege that God has created and God has made for himself. As I mentioned before, one of the primary privileges is individual and constant access, as we would desire, into the presence of God by our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we would see here that in contrast to the Old Testament, not a nation of priests, just the tribe of, or the nation of Israel, not just a tribe, the tribe of Levi, not even a single family, the family of Aaron, not just the men, but each one, male and female alike, brought into the kingdom of priesthood, the kingdom of priests that God has desired. And so we would see that no one person or group would stand between us and God. Each one of us have individual access and the right and the privilege to be in the presence of God, ourselves and God. There was a truth that God laid on the conscience and the minds of men many years ago. And as I mentioned already the term that was that seemed to have born from that was the priesthood of all believers, as in contrast to just the priesthood of a select few that would mediate or minister between the people and God. It's not a term, we won't find the term the priesthood of all believers in our scriptures, but I think it's a term that describes it quite well in terms of those that are saved and what God has planned. So at conversion, each one of us were constituted a priest before God and learned that we had the full right and the ability to enter into His presence. Now for many here, and myself included, I mean, saved at a very young age, it was not something that I knew the day or the evening or the night that I was saved, and likely yourself as well. But it's not something that God would have us to be ignorant of. And I believe God would have us learn that each one of us are priests before Him, in function and in character before our God. It is foundational to learn in our lives that it affects many, many portions of our lives and our minds and our heart. As we continue to look at the function of a priest before God, over all of it, I think we need to learn that there is a dignity that is attached with priesthood. There is a reverence and there is a holiness that becomes those that would function in priesthood before God. As we would look at our New Testament, we would see that when it is spoken of in the singular as a priest, I believe most often it would speak of the Savior, of Christ. But when it speaks of in a plural sense, it is always speaking of the believers, of each believer as part of the priesthood. So we are all a part of this everywhere at all times. It is not something that we will ever lose, not something that we will fall away from or not be in the full ability of. We are always and ever a priest before God. It is also not only true when the assembly or when the local church would gather together that the priesthood is seen. We come together not to form a priesthood, but because we already are priests before God. And so while it is a truth that would relate more to the church which is His body, and in that it relates to all believers, there is also many aspects that would relate to the local church and the believers that would function in a local assembly. We must as well distinguish the function of priesthood from gifts as well, and the service in relation to gifts. I believe that we can think of it in terms of priesthood. Priesthood is a privilege and a responsibility to all by new birth. When we were born again, we were brought into this priesthood. Whereas when we think of gifts, we can think of gifts that are given specifically, again, when we are saved, but it is given specifically and individually to different believers. Varying believers will have various gifts, and there is a divine call and also a human exercise to use that gift and to exercise that gift before God. It is not a lack of gift that would restrict priestly function before God. Let me repeat that. It is not a lack of gift that would restrict us in priestly function before our God. But I believe it is a heart that is the absence of a heart that is warm toward Christ. The absence of a heart that is warm towards God will restrict us and will keep us and will prevent us from acting in blessing toward God. So gift, as distinguished from priesthood, is a big distinction, one that is where priesthood is for all believers, as gifts may be given severally to each one as God would desire. And so as we look in the time that is remaining to us of the truth of priesthood, I'd like to turn our attention to different passages of the New Testament where we have different words that would relate to priesthood brought before us. And the two words I'd like to key in on are the words to offer and to sacrifice. The ideas of priesthood are found with that. Simply to offer is just to take up or to bear up, specifically in relation to our God. And sacrificing, either speak of the sacrifice itself, as in one that would bring a sacrifice, or it could speak of the act of sacrificing, as in one would sacrifice before God. And so we will turn to these different scriptures, and I would repeat that we need to learn this principle. It is God and then man. And I believe that if we do not know this truth, if we don't understand the truth of priesthood as it relates to our lives, that we will not realize how basic it is to many things that God would have us in our life do in our life before Him. So let's turn to the book of Hebrews and chapter 13, a couple of verses. Hebrews chapter 13. I'm reading from verse 13, verse 12. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Verse 15. By him therefore let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. So in 1 Peter in chapter 2, we can see there God's desire for priesthood. And in Revelation chapter 1, we can see our entrance into that priesthood. I believe in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, we have priesthood and our praise. And here again, we have our clue is given to us in verse 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. It is the function of priests to offer before God. So what is it that is occurring here? Those that are functioning as priests, they are bringing blessing to God. There is a praise that is being brought to God, giving thanks to his name. What a privilege it is that we have been made, that has been made possible, that we are able to be worshippers of God. The Father seeketh worshippers, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. What a privilege to be a worshipper of God. Praise, the fruit of our lips, brought up before God, born up and offered toward God, a sacrifice of praise continually before God. You must notice as well that it is not just associated with the Lord's Supper, with remembering our Lord on a Sunday, but at all times the praise would go up before God continually. As I mentioned before, we do not come together as a church to form a priesthood. We are part of this priesthood at all times. We come together because we are a priesthood, and we function in that manner as well in the local assembly. So at all times there is to be praise brought before God. What do we know of this truth in our own lives? Of bringing praise to our God, of offering up sacrifice, the sacrifice of praise, thanksgiving to our God, men and women, the responsibility of both to prepare and to praise, to be occupied with the glories of Christ, to be occupied with God and what he has done, and by that to have a heart that is so overwhelmed with praise and so overwhelmed with gratitude that it is not possible that praise would be withheld, and there is praise continually ascending daily toward God. We must ask ourselves as well, is the only time that God would hear our praise on a Sunday morning, on the time when we would gather together to remember our Lord? Is that the only time that God would hear the praise of our lips brought up before them? And even then, when we would even think of remembering our Lord, would each of us come prepared, again, male and female alike, to offer up before God the sacrifice of praise continually? Do we know what it is to come prepared to offer before God? The exercise of priesthood is to offer continually. Note that it says in verse 15, that is the fruit of our lips. And so it's something there that God would desire that there would be development in our lives. And so while simple and heartfelt praise and heartfelt thanksgiving is appreciated by God, I do not think that it is in the mind of God that would be how we would praise him and how we would think of our Savior and of our God continually day after day and year after year. But there must be development. God seeks development in our lives. It is not the seed of our lips, but the fruit of our lips, showing that there has been some development, showing that it is not just something that we would, as it were, pick out of the Word of God, but something that we have meditated upon, and we have developed it and appreciated it in our own life. And there is growth and maturity in priesthood before Him. Our God has desired a priesthood. A priesthood that would offer up spiritual sacrifices before Him. And we can think of the sad state of the nation of Israel from the book of Malachi. And there, God would accuse them of robbing Him. And they would say, how is it that we have robbed God? And their hearts and their minds were so far from God that they did not even realize that when they brought those that were lame and the blind and those that were deformed and those that were not acceptable as sacrifices, their minds and their hearts had gone so far from God that they did not even realize that those sacrifices were not acceptable to Him. And so from 1 Peter, we would see that it is to offer spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. It is something that needs to be well-pleasing to God. So is it something that God would desire from each one? Would we rob God of His praise? Not only when the church is gathered together, but in our own lives, daily, day after day. That is something that has really spoken to myself as I realized how often it is that I can go through a day. And sure, maybe we can read the Word of God, and we can spend time in meditation before Him, but do we make it our practice to function as a priest in praise before our God? To be so taken up with Christ that we cannot help but praise our God for all that He has done. So a lack of worship when the church is gathered together, or even a lack of desire of making that a priority in our lives, perhaps even shown by our absence when the church is gathered together, I think would prove that we are not functioning as priests the other 6 days of the week. If we were functioning as priests the 6 days of the week before our God, and we would come before our God in praise and in worship on a Lord's Day morning, we would come in praise, and we would each have something to offer before Him. Obviously, the males do speak audibly before God. I'd like to encourage each one of our sisters as well. Do we know what it is to come prepared to praise before God? I know it is silent, but God desires the praise of our hearts and praise the fruit of our lips continually before Him. We must function as priests continually before Him. We will remember who God is. We remember that what Christ has brought in is so much greater than what He has put away. So we will worship not only in a gospel sense, not only in a sense of thanking God for the forgiveness of our sins, but also as it was to the two on the road to Emmaus. It is Christ in all the scriptures. Christ in all the scriptures that can be brought out and can be brought to praise before Him. So this is true of the priesthood in a collective sense. But each one of us as priests, as part of that, it should mark us, each one of us, individually. There are many here this afternoon who have known much more heartache and much more trial than I have known in my short life, and perhaps that God will ever desire that I will go through. And yet, how glorious it is for this, the truth of this passage in this verse to be shown and exercised in their life. It is the sacrifice of praise continually. And so no matter what the circumstances that God has placed upon them, to those believers in 1 Peter, they were undergoing the trial of their faith. It was something that would require perhaps even their very lives. And they were able to continue on in praise before our God, recognizing that it is the fruit of our lips, continuously, continual before Him. So this function as a priest does not rely on anything other. It does not rely on our circumstances around us, that we would be more joyful and have more, as it were, more praise to offer before God. No, it is praise continually, occupation with Christ. And that's something, again, to challenge my own life, to challenge yours. And so often it is easy to be taken up with the affairs of this world, to be taken up with the heartache of our own lives, of family, and of things that, granted, are extremely disappointing and are extremely difficult before to live in a very human sense. But God has offered us strength, and God has offered us Himself, that we might know Him and to be occupied with Christ. And so we entered into priesthood at conversion, but priestly character can be developed. It is a sacrifice of praise can only be made by time in His presence, time spent in the presence of our God. Taking a little picture from the tabernacle of the Old Testament, in verse 15, if we would think of it in terms of the priest, as it were, inside the veil, the priest, as it were, inside the holy place, offering sacrifices before God and praising Him, praising and offering praise to God. In verse 16 of Hebrews 13, I believe we see Him outside the tabernacle, outside the camp. But to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Praising God in the sanctuary is followed by blessing toward men out in the street. Praising God and then blessing toward men. Again, we have the principle here for us. It is to offer the sacrifice of praise continually, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. Blessing God, having a heart that is prepared in praise before God, and then moving forward in blessing to others. Again, notice the order. But not only the sacrifice of our praise, but the sacrifice of our service. And here in verse 16, we have not the priesthood and our praise, but priesthood and our service. It is in well-doing and in sharing and communicating to others that this sacrifice is made. And so it is the actions of men and women before God that is being offered up before our God. We are not to forget it, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. That probably would correspond to verse 15 and the word continually. And so we were to offer a sacrifice of praise continually. And we are also as well reminded and commanded that we would do good and to communicate and to forget it not. Both would be required of a priest. It is only effective if done in the order of these verses. It would be very difficult to try and bring blessing toward men, to try and to do good to others, and to communicate to others in a way that would bring blessing to God if you were not bringing praise to God. It would not be possible, I don't think, to give to others and to share with others in a right spirit, unless we have first of all been in praise and in thanksgiving to our God. God is well pleased. It's the same words that are used in Hebrews chapter 11, speaking from these words, without faith it is impossible to please Him. It is the very same word. Without faith it is impossible to please Him. With such sacrifices God is well pleased. The word there just simply means to satisfy entirely, to completely gratify. And God is fully agreeable with these actions that are being taken and being done in the function of priesthood before Him. We serve for the joy of serving, and we give of our abundance. Notice that it is a sacrifice as well. It is a sacrifice of praise. And if here we can see perhaps a sacrifice of praise is going to require that we spend time in the presence of God. Here we think of the sacrifices that are going to bless others. They're going to require service and giving on our part. Here it is not to be like the Pharisees who gave of their abundance and yet held so much back, but to be like the widow who gave all that she had. So priesthood and our service. I believe that here we see the dignity and the responsibility that God has given to us to offer praise and to serve before Him. Let's turn to the book of Philippians and chapter 2 for another few verses. Philippians chapter 2. I'm going to rely on your remembrance and understanding of the context of these passages, and we'll just break into the verse in verse 17. Verse 17, the words of the Apostle Paul, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you all for the same cause also, do ye rejoice, and rejoice with me. Coming through this chapter, this second chapter of Philippians, we have the mind of Christ as being brought to us and extolled before us. Let this mind be in you. Further on the chapter, we have the examples of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus. And here again in verse 17, we have the two words that again speak to us of priesthood, offering, offered, and sacrifice. So Paul, in thinking of these believers, was, as it were, come to the end of the section in speaking of himself, and he would swell forth with these words, "Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, if I am poured forth on the sacrifice and the service that they have done," considering himself as a drink offering that is poured out upon the burnt offering, a drink offering that would symbolize the joy of the giver, of being associated with that burnt offering, poured out toward God, poured out for God. There is joy and rejoicing for all. But what is it that is the burnt offering here? I believe it is the, as we have here, the sacrifice and service of their faith. It was the lives of the Philippian believers. And they lived their lives in such a way that it was as it were, a burnt offering, offering up to God. A sacrifice and service of their faith, linking us with Hebrews 13 and 16. Their life is viewed as a burnt offering, holy and entirely brought up before God. So again, we see here that God has the blessing. And God has the priority. There is blessing brought to God. And then there is joy and rejoicing brought to Paul and to others. What do we know of pouring our life out for others? Paul here would desire that his life would even, as it were, be poured out on these believers. He was willing to be associated with their life. Isn't that an amazing thing that the lives of the believers in Philippi were lived in such a way and such in accordance with the Word of God that Paul was willing to even give his very life in association with that. They lived their lives in such a way that it served as an act of worship before God. As the Philippian believers expressed their faith, it was, as it were, acts of sacrifice and service to God. And the words of Paul, I am willing to be associated with that. Joy at giving his own life in connection with it. Again, what do we know of this truth of priesthood, of giving our lives for others? I've labeled over this priesthood under joy, the joy of being associated with others and their sacrifice of their faith. Give to the point that if my life or if your life was required before God, that there would be joy and rejoicing to all around. And we can think of it in two ways. We can think of it very, very personally, first of all, in my life. But how am I living my life before God? And would it be in such a manner that there would be others that would be willing to pour out their life upon the sacrifice and service of my faith? And we can turn it around the other way and think of it the other way to say was, if I would look at your life, or if there's others here today that would look at your life, would they be willing to be associated with the sacrifice and service of your faith? Priesthood and their joy. Moving on quickly to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 18. Not only the priesthood and our praise, and priesthood and our service, and priesthood and our joy from Philippians chapter 2, but here I think we have priesthood and our giving. Reading from verse 15, "I, Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God." So they're here, you have thanksgiving being given, being brought to God, because of the gift that Paul had received. So again, here we see the principle. Something was being offered up. Something was being sent.
and is viewed as a sacrifice before God. And so the local church at Philippi, in a collective sense, is giving to us the example of a priesthood and of giving. And our principles are further established. We cannot think of giving as something that is entirely practical, but no, as a sacrifice before God. We would see here that, first of all, it would teach us that it is offered to God. And we'd see that by the fact that the believers would have first of all offered it to God before it came to Paul. It was given to God long before it ever reached Paul where he was. It was given to God, and God knew about it long before Paul ever knew about it. And it was the odor of a sweet smell ascending toward God. Again, the language of the altar, the language of the burnt offering, holy for God. And we see here that it is well-pleasing. Linking us again with Hebrews chapter 11, without faith it is impossible to please him. Linking it again with priesthood and our service, that we would serve in a manner that would be well-pleasing to our God. So here is a company of believers functioning as part of their priesthood. They are blessing God, offering this gift toward God and to God. On a very human level, on a very practical level, it is bringing blessing toward Paul and toward others. It gives a new dimension to giving. It exalts the thought of fellowship and of communicating one with another. That is a sacrifice to God, acting as priests before God. I notice as well in verse 16 that, for even in Thessalonica you sent once and again. So you think of it in terms of priesthood, and we would go back to Hebrews chapter 13. We saw there it was continually. We go back to verse 16, and it was something they were to forget not. Here again, it was something that was once and again, bringing before us the fact that when we think of priesthood, it is something that is continual, something that we've been again brought into as part of our new birth, and something that we must learn and move forward in day by day in our lives before him. Once and again, it was continual, just like praise and service and joy before our God. If we were to turn to 1 Timothy in chapter 2, we will not find the words there of offering and of sacrifice, and we think of a prayer and the topic of prayer that is given there. But I think, if you allow me the liberty of using it in the application there of the character of priesthood, I think would be seen as there is prayer ascending toward God, there is thanksgiving and blessing brought to God, and there is intercession on behalf of others for their blessing of mankind. There's much that can be said in terms of prayer in relation to priesthood, and well as the priority of collective prayer in our gatherings and our own personal lives. And again, as we would think of priesthood, the fact that God has brought us into this, he has desired that we would function as priests, not only in our praise and our service, our joy, or our giving, but in prayer before him. So when the church does gather together, are we found there? Are we found when the church would gather together for prayer, whether it's on a weeknight meeting or the prayer meeting before the gospel meeting, to come in prayer as a priest before our God? Finally, let's turn to Romans chapter 15. Book of Romans and chapter 15. Here it is, priesthood and our commission, our priesthood and the gospel. Romans chapter 15, and let's read from verse 15. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written them more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Paul here is speaking of Jews and Gentiles in the previous verses being brought into one in salvation. And he speaks of the ministry that God has given to him, the ministry of the apostle to the Gentiles, the gospel of our God to each one. And again, we have here the words that are associated with priesthood. Paul is speaking of himself as a minister, as a servant before our God. He's a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is what he is functioning in. The way in which he is presenting the gospel is as a servant of our Lord Jesus Christ. And what is the manner in which he is doing it? He is doing it as ministering the gospel of God. Ministering as a priest. The word there has the background of those that would work in the temple. It is ministering as a priest the gospel before our God. So he's a servant of Jesus Christ. He's acting again in blessing toward God. But then he is ministering the gospel as a priest toward man, again bringing blessing toward mankind. And what is it that's being offered up? Don't believe the gospel is the sacrifice. I believe it's the offering up is the Gentiles that would be saved, that their lives would be made acceptable toward God. Those that were in darkness now brought into the marvelous light of salvation. I mentioned at the very beginning that a priest always considers a result for God. And I believe that's what we see here. A priest offering up the gospel, preaching the gospel before mankind, considering the full result of the salvation of these believers. Not just that they would be saved, but there would be lives that would be dedicated toward God. Lives that would be made acceptable by the Holy Spirit in a life of service and a life of salvation toward Him. And I know gospel preaching is linked with the gift of the evangelist, but here we have characteristics that are associated with priesthood in at least two ways. It is a character and the manner in which the gospel is presented. And we think of preaching the gospel in relation to being a priest. There should be a dignity. There should be a reverence. There should be a holiness that would mark each one that would present the gospel to others. It would be the characteristics befitting those who act in the presence of the holiness of God. And as well, there should be the result of the preaching is under consideration. Not just someone saved from the hell and lake of fire. Not just someone just brought into the new relationship with Christ, but one in a very full sense. Lives that would be brought in service toward the Savior. That the converts might thus be caused to be well received. We're called to go into all the world. This is our commission. And the character of priesthood is connected with the preaching of the gospel. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 for a final reading. Obviously a very familiar verse to each one of us. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. I beseech ye, you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. As I thought to try and put a little title over this verse, there's not one that came really to my mind, and so I simply have labeled it priesthood and our all. And I thought perhaps of reading this verse first, because I believe if we understand the truth of this verse, lives dedicated, present to your bodies a living sacrifice, each one of the other characteristics and the functions of priesthood that I've mentioned would follow along very well indeed. So we reflect on the word of God. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My commands are not grievous. Our God is desirous that we would function as priests before Him. We desire there would be a priesthood that would offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. He wants you and He wants me. So we come full circle to 1 Peter and chapter 2 and the desire of God. Words that again tell us of priesthood, to offer and to sacrifice. Opposite to the Old Testament where the sacrifice was killed, here it is a living sacrifice. A sacrifice that is laid upon the altar. And may it be that each one of us would this afternoon face, as it were, the claim of the altar, surrendering and yielding to our God. Notice that it is not that we are made acceptable by ourselves. It is not in ourselves that we are acceptable to God. And often it may be that we would feel our very immense unworthiness to offer ourselves before God. But we see that it is the basis of the death of Christ. The basis of that, as it were, great burnt offering, offered up before God, the great sacrifice of Christ. that makes us acceptable. And perhaps in this sense, because there's a living sacrifice and there is no blood shed, maybe you can think of our lives as that meal offering that was often associated with the burnt offering, a bloodless sacrifice to offer before God what he has done. It's by the mercies of God that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice. God desires us in this aspect of priesthood. To know this claim, each of the other aspects of priesthood would go along in its place. To know this claim, we would have obviously, and first of all, and primarily given ourselves to God. And so we would have fulfilled the first part of the principle of being a blessing to God, and then by that, bringing blessing to men. So we've been made a holy priesthood and a royal priesthood. And as I close, just leave you with these words: how does my life and how does your life need to be changed in the light of the truth of the priesthood of all believers? Again, our God has done all. It is a privilege that we can enter into. Blessing, offering and sacrifices unto our God. May God help us that we would learn what it is to put that priority in our lives, to know the lordship of Christ in our lives. We may know what it is to be priests, offering up only that which is acceptable to God by Jesus Christ.